In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Singing and rejoicing, let us praise our Heavenly Father. How many times did we just hear the choir sing those words? Singing and rejoicing, let us praise our Heavenly Father. Pretorius sets those words with an incessant rhythm to drive home his point. Singing and rejoicing, let us praise our Heavenly Father. Why? Why all this singing and rejoicing? Because the one who lies as the lowly infant in the manger is in truth the Lord of all. Hence the reason the angels shout glory in the highest. He is the one, you see, who came to share your human flesh, becoming your sinless brother. That is the reason for all of this singing and rejoicing. As the prophet Isaiah put it, "Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." Since the early days of our Advent observance, with the voice of that baptizer crying in the wilderness, the church has been seeking and yearning to hear that comforting word of God, that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned. How can we not but sing and rejoice and praise our God forever? The Apostle Paul certainly does. And though he doesn't reference the birth of Christ directly in these words from our epistle reading, from the third chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, the fingerprints of that salvific event are certainly there, right at the end in verse 11, when Paul speaks of God's eternal purpose, which was realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There, in that lowly manger, God was bringing to completion the ultimate expression of his divine mercy, unbearing his fatherly heart so that we might know the depth of his love. This was a love that spared not self, a love that willingly drank to the bottom our cup of woe, a love that would not shrink from bearing the full weight of our guilt and shame. How can we not but sing and rejoice and praise our God forever? This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, indeed the promise he gave to our first parents there in paradise before they were cast out. This was the good news heralded by one prophet after another, and the promise made to King David of a greater David who was yet to come. Yet this oath, this promise, has been forgotten generation after generation, sometimes from neglect, sometimes from willful disobedience, but always with the catastrophic consequence of alienation from God. We know it in our own lives, a callous heart that deflects the arrows of God's condemning word, a cold heart that refuses to be warmed by the light emanating from that manger, a cantankerous heart that will never be satisfied with God's grace, and hence will never be at peace with the neighbor. It was for this rebellious and thankless generation, which encompasses every generation, that God purposed to send salvation, to save for all eternity through his Son. In Christ, Paul writes at the beginning of his epistle, in Christ we were chosen from the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless. In love, Paul tells us, we were predestined for adoption by grace in Christ. In him, the apostle assures us, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of all our iniquities. Under these circumstances, what can faith do except sing and rejoice and praise our Heavenly Father? But there's even more, the apostle tells us. A mystery, he says, that has been kept hidden for the ages, a mystery now revealed in all its fullness. And that mystery is this, that the Gentiles are also included in the promise. They are fellow heirs, members of the same body, Christ's body, partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. What wonderful news that was for Paul's Gentile audience, and for you and me as well. In Christ's holy body, you see, there are no cliques, no in crowd, no special status, favored status that would set some in front of others. While our Lord may have two natures, there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it is through that one baptism that you all of us are, in fact, incorporated into Christ, joined to that one Lord. He, our very head, gathers us together into his body, a seamless fellowship from every nation, tribe, people, and language that he nurtures in mercy and grace. Just 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of those visitors from the East, Magi, who found a seat at the table as they knelt before the toddler Jesus. They may have possessed great learning, but it wasn't their erudition that led them to pack up their gifts and follow that star. It was faith, by faith that they set out on their journey, and it was by faith that they paid heed to the prophet Micah, who foretold that the newborn king would be found in all places, Bethlehem, the least of the towns of Judah. In his ministry, our Lord would encounter other Gentiles, a centurion, a Canaanite woman. They, too, he gathered to himself, not because of their social standing or lack thereof. It was solely by his grace, by the grace of the one who called them through word and spirit to be his very own. Even as he showed grace to a misguided Jew named Saul, uprooting him from a life of rampage that he inflicted upon the church, to become an ambassador in chains, a fellow servant with Jews and Gentiles, to preach, Paul tells us, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That, dear friends, is the reason for all of this singing and rejoicing. In that manger in Bethlehem, the Lord has bared his holy arm. He's rolled up his sleeves. He's pulled back the veil that the eyes of every nation may know the salvation of our God. Singing and rejoicing, how can we not but praise our Heavenly Father? And this good news he bids his church to proclaim, with beautiful feet carrying forth the word of life to the very ends of the earth, to a world that desperately needs still today to know of his salvation, and every mouth opening wide to give the reason for the hope that is in them. Singing and rejoicing, we will praise our Heavenly Father, for Christ our Lord goes with us all the way, today, tomorrow, every day. How can you not but tell that story, that his love has no end? With singing and rejoicing, we eagerly await the fulfillment of his last and his greatest promise, that we will be transported from this veil of tears, when on that day of his returning, he will gather his elect from every corner and crown them with life eternal. Then shall our voices be united as one, as together we shall proclaim, our God reigns. Indeed, he reigns now. So let the singing and the rejoicing continue and sound forth, as together we praise our Heavenly Father without end. In the name of Jesus.